Doom do 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 do. Hi, plant friends. Welcome to episode 65 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hey, plant friends. I hope that you have had wonderfully planty weeks. I am currently in Cincinnati. As I record this, when it airs, I will be in Philly. I am so excited about this upcoming Bloom and Grow Radio live taping in Philadelphia, plant friends. If you live close enough, even if you live a little bit close, which would require you driving in, this thing is going to be epic. The people at Urban Jungle Philly are not playing around. That is the incredible plant shop that is going to be hosting us. It's going to be twice as large as any of the other Bloom and Grow events, and we're going to have cocktails. We're hoping to have food as well. We are in the midst of organizing an informal plant swap that will happen at this happy hour. And then I'm going to have Nick from Philly Foliage, who is an awesome plant parent guy. He manages the plants at Urban Jungle Philly, but he also has an amazing YouTube, plant YouTube. He and I are going to do an episode on Peperomia 101. We're going to break it down for you guys. So the taping is going to be amazing. We're also going to have like an unbelievable planty gift bag. I just have a feeling it's going to be a really epic event. So if you want to come join us, it's June 24th in the evening. The tickets are in the bio to check it out. So the early pricing is over. So grab your tickets now if you want to come, because as we progress through the week, since there's only a week left, the tickets are going to get more and more expensive. So I hope to see you there and make some Plant Friends IRL with y'all. Thank you, Johnny, for becoming a plant friend on Patreon for Bloom and Grow Radio today. And very special thanks to Nikki Meister, who already signed up to be a plant friend at the $4 pledge, and she upgraded her pledge this week. You're the bomb, Nikki. Thanks for supporting the show. So if any of you guys want to support Bloom and Grow Radio by becoming a plant friend on Patreon for only $4 a month, you can head also to the link in the show notes. You guys are showing up for me in such an amazing way. The first 25 people got a special limited edition sticker sheet for Bloom and Grow Radio. Those are out in the mail to you guys. So thank you guys. You are amazing. I'm so excited to bring you my talk today with Mickey Hargitay. We did this interview a while ago while I was in LA, and I've just been sitting on it waiting to release it for you guys. Mickey is such a special person. He has had his plant shop in Los Angeles in the heart of Hollywood for 39 years. So Mickey has been around. He was selling plants before selling plants was cool. He has such a beautiful story. He's really just the sweetest soul. I felt so lucky to get to spend some time with him. His shop is unbelievable. And since he has been in the business, if you guys live in the Los Angeles area, since Mickey has been in the business for so long, he has cultivated these amazing relationships with growers, and he gets plants that nobody else gets. His shop is so fun. I spent an entire morning there after I interviewed Mickey. The photo shoot for the Plant Friends apparel actually was at Mickey's shop, and it was just such a calming, tranquil, amazingly planty place. So if you are in the Los Angeles area, you must stop by Mickey Hargitay Plants. So he joins me today because he has been in the business for a while, and I wanted to talk to a shop owner not only about how trends have come and go and what his experience has been selling plants for almost four decades, but also what a plant's journey is from being grown at a grower to getting into my hands as a plant parent. What happens? How do you source plants? How do they get delivered to you? How do you stock them as inventory? How do you price them? So Mickey and I really just have a lovely conversation about how he has kept his business thriving and successful for the last four decades. It's a lovely talk. So I hope you enjoy it. And his address and links for his website and socials are in the show notes as per usual. And if you're not in the area, I actually was able to do a YouTube video of a tour of Mickey Hargitay Plants. So Mickey walks me through the entire plant shop, indoors, outdoors. We see some really rare, really cool plants. The link is in the show notes, so definitely give it a click. And if you are interested in watching more YouTube content, I'd love for you to subscribe to the Bloom and Grow YouTube show, because we're bringing you some fun planty stuff in the future. All right, before I introduce you to this botanical bro that I really just adore, he is so sweet, I want to tell you about our podcast sponsor who I adore, Bloom Living. friends, Bloom Living makes flower pots and garden accessories for any garden, big, small, balcony, backyard, whatever kind of garden you've got, Bloom Living has something for it. Their products are made in the USA and they're available online and found at retail outlets and garden centers nationally. As you guys know, Billy and I love their Bloom bags, which we're using in our balcony garden this summer. They're made of 100% recyclable materials and they fold away after the growing season, making our lives in our tiny New York City apartment easy peasy. They also have an awesome selection of balcony railing planters and Bloom bags that actually are designed to fit on your railing if you are working with limited space. Another product that they have that I think is really interesting is their Upsities, which is essentially this disc that fits halfway down your planter. And they say it saves 50% of your potting soil, reduces planter weight, prevents root rot, improves drainage, and it's reusable. So if you have those enormous garden planters, but maybe you're planting plants that don't require that much space, you can pop an Upsidaisy in to save space and save soil. So to get your Bloom Living product of choice, you can head to bloomliving.com, and that's Bloom spelled B-L-O-E-M, living.com. On the website, you can find your local Bloom Living dealer, or you can shop online at Amazon, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, Wayfair, JCPenney, Overstock.com. They're pretty much everywhere. I have also included my Amazon affiliate links to my favorite Bloom products in the show notes if you're curious to what me and Billy are using this season. Once again, that's bloomliving.com, B-L-O-E-M, living.com. All right, here's Mickey. Welcome to Bloom and Grow Radio, Mickey. Thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
I can't believe I'm finally here. I've heard so much about the famous Mickey Hargitay's plants. You said 39 years you've been in business, right?
1980 is when we started here.
Oh my gosh, that's unbelievable. So before we dive into your shop, why don't you tell me a little bit about how you became the owner of Mickey Hargitay's plants and where your love for plants began?
I think it was just a natural evolution. It wasn't like I had a business plan or anything. And I think my chores as a child were watering plants. And I think I just had an affinity to that. When I did that, I just had a natural love always for watching that next leaf unfold and just taking care of things.
And how did you develop your business sense for plants? Where did the concept for the shop come from?
It's funny because now it's very trendy and very cool, but it was kind of the same thing back in the 70s, in the late 70s. Mm-hmm. And three friends and I, we were making macrame plant hangers,
which
were very popular. Mm-hmm. And we had a little plant shop. I mean, we were like neo-hippies, basically. And we were making macrame plant hangers. We had a little shop in Echo Park.
In the 70s?
In the 70s, yeah.
Wow, because what I've learned is the 70s was the last time houseplants were like a huge craze the way they are now.
Huge.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that. I think it's just very different because there was no internet. There was mm-hmm. no social media. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, you know, wildfire. It catches really fast, whereas before it was more word of mouth and a little slower.
Yeah, it's crazy. Since I've gotten into plants, I've made a habit of going into like old bookshops or the used section of bookshops and finding as many like houseplant books from the 70s as I can, because it's so interesting. And it's funny because now you see there's like a fleet of new houseplant care books that have been published, I feel like, by all the people I've interviewed on the show.
Right.
And I feel like the last surge of like so many books being published about houseplants has been in the 70s, but the photos are so different. And like, I have one book that says that, like, what was it? A devil's ivy, a pothos, was like $199, you know, like unbelievable prices. But the care is relatively similar. I feel like it's just the approach that's different, but you've really seen decades of this plant hobby develop. So has it changed a lot? Like, what has your experience been being in business for almost 40 years, seeing the houseplant trends kind of ebb and flow?
I think it was, what I remember is it was popular back then, but it wasn't as trendy. It was a little more like plant nerds weren't as cool as they are now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I think it kind of faded out and wasn't a cool thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the last, I'd say 4 to 5 years, it's really kind of come back huge.
Would you say that, because I just think about the green, you know, my grandma basically had like a greenhouse as an addition to her home in the 70s with the macrame plant hangers. Do you think that people's approach to houseplants has also been different? I feel like it's very involved with self-care now. Like in the 70s, was it more about like, or the 80s, was it more about taking care of yourself? Do you feel like it was more just for like aesthetic purposes? Like, was there that health aspect of like, I guess that NASA study was done in like, I think the 80s, right? About how plants clean the air. So yeah. Do you feel like the approaches have changed?
I think the approaches might be very similar, because I think, you know, in the 70s or late 70s, we were kind of in a rebound from a rebellious, you know, decade of the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people were just, you know, not happy with what was going on. And I think we're kind of in this a similar situation now.
Yeah.
There's two, I don't know, without, you know, I think people are kind of reaching more for the earth, trying to find reality where there's
instability.
So like, yeah, there's so much chaos going on in the world right now that people are kind of scared and they want to get back to, you know, reality.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. I love that. I haven't thought about it from that angle. Yeah, so it's a very similar approach. It's just that we have different tools that people didn't have back then with social media and with blogs and online. I'm personally, all of my education about plants has been online and with the occasional book from the 70s, but that's more like a fun little kitschy thing. The majority of like the initial startup of my plant passion definitely came from online. Yeah, it's very interesting. Do you have like crazy stories from being in West Hollywood, having a plant shop? And we're in West Hollywood, right? I'm still learning the neighborhoods of LA.
Right here, we're on the edge of West Hollywood. Mm-hmm. West Hollywood is on the west end of our little shop on the property. And we're actually in Hollywood.
Oh, you're in Hollywood. Okay.
Which isn't a real city. We're in LA.
Right, in LA. Yeah. Are there any stars who are plant people that patronize your shop a lot?
I'm sure there are. You know, we have people. I mean, I don't want to drop names, but I know there was a pretty big one that came in last week and everybody around here got kind of excited.
Really?
That's kind of cool. Yeah.
But you'll be a gentleman and not, not drop names. I appreciate that.
It becomes just kind of normal behavior around this town.
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing, you know, stars and stuff.
Yeah. It's funny, New York. I live in New York and it's very different. In New York, no one really looks at each other either, but it is very funny that just having stars or famous people walking around and just, you know, letting them mind their own business. It's very funny, but that's a plant. That's not a plant thing. That's just a human thing.
Right, for sure.
It's so popular to start a plant shop these days. You see plant shop after plant shop opening up, but you're kind of the original OG plant guy. And what I've always been curious about is the behind the scenes element of the efforts that go into me purchasing my plant and taking it home. And I feel like there's so much that goes on and so much I don't know about. So I'd love for you to maybe take us through a plant's journey from going to the growers to getting to your shop to then getting to my house. Maybe we could start with the growers. How have you kind of developed your relationship with these growers over 39 years? Are you still with the same growers that you have been with?
A lot of them. I mean, a lot of big growers have shut down, and the recession that we went through in 2008, 9, and 10 kind of, you know, a lot of the old school people had to close their doors. I think because it wasn't, you know, such a trendy thing, I, you know, used to go to the growers myself in the truck for over 20 years and just load the truck up every week. And I think the benefit of that was really establishing relationships with the people, kind of seeking out people in the, you know, nooks and crannies of the suburbs, you know, outside of LA where the land is cheap enough to have greenhouses and grow plants. I think that going personally, it helped to set standards and help to build relationships with people. Then they would see that the plants that we choose are really, you know, got to be, you know, top notch and really the healthiest, best quality. Otherwise, a lot of places, like if you deal with the big box stores and the corporate places, they just get availability lists. They place orders right. based on, you know, what they see on black and white paper. Mm-hmm. And that I don't think gets you the best quality from going and cherry picking stuff.
So you are showing up, you're driving to these growers that are local, walking through the, what I can only imagine is tables or probably right. warehouses full of plants and handpicking which ones you're bringing back to your shop.
For many years, but they kind of shut that down after a while.
Because,
you know, it,
people time got, consuming, I would imagine. Time consuming, yeah.
But also people got really, you know, more methodical about the way they handle production and fulfilling orders. They mm-hmm. wouldn't let people pick as much. So we kind of were able to kind of sneak in and grab stuff. They'd been the rules for us, which was really fortunate.
Wow, because you've had such a long-standing relationship with them?
Yeah, exactly.
How does it work? Do you show up that day and take home plants that day? Do you have kind of like a standing order for a certain amount of plants? Like, how does the actual ordering process work with a grower?
Today, there's lists that you get, you know, usually emailed. A couple of old school people still fax things.
Oh, I love that.
Usually it's an availability list, and there may be comments, there may be specs on the list, and then you place your order based on what's available. I think what's also, you know, really important is to think outside the box, and after having the relationships with so many people, is a lot of things don't get published, and you have to, you know, ask, you know, hey, do you have this? I know last week you had those. Because we buy small quantities, we're able to say, hey, do you have, you know, 5 of these or 10 of those? Because they're trying to blow out, you know, hundreds of
right.
things, you know. So being a little smaller helps sometimes too.
What are like the biggest, hottest requests right now for plants?
Fiddle leaf figs are still blowing out like every week.
Really? Yeah. That's interesting.
I don't know when it'll stop. It's been like that for...
You know. It's so funny. Do you watch Queer Eye for the Straight Guy on Netflix?
I do not.
It's a great show. It's like the old show from the 80s that they revamped. And I'm obsessed with the fact that in the first season, they definitely used the same set of plants in every redesign because they like do makeovers in everybody's home. But I was watching an episode last night and they had a huge fiddly fig in a dark corner. And I was just like, no, you can't do that. You're like misleading these people. I love the TV show. I cry at during every episode. It's an amazing show. But the plants are just not on point in that show.
But everybody does.
Everybody
that.
Does
people
it.
Will come in
everybody
be
does
like,
it.
Look, they'll, you know, holding a magazine. Look at this. I want this. I'm like, let me see pictures of your space and
right.
where the window
Do you
is.
Have a southern facing window? Yeah. Then you can have a fiddly fig.
But a lot of people don't care. Yeah. They're like, you know what? I'll stick it in there. If it lasts 6 months, I'll replace it.
Right. It's longer than flowers. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a decorating tool that just kind of, you know,
yeah.
accents the house. And I don't know if it's like that just in Hollywood. If mm-hmm. it's.
No, it's like that in everywhere. New York too. I think that's everywhere. Well, and I think with the fiddle leaf, I did a whole episode on the fiddle leaf because I feel like there's just so much misinformation about that plant because it's just in every magazine, you know, like it's just everywhere.
Right.
So are Calathea orbifolia as hot here as they are in
we
New York?
We can't get our hands on them. I mean, that's the other dilemma is grower, you know, on social media, one person or two people
have it and now they all want it.
And then everybody wants it. But the grower has to have foresight to be able to, you know, put these
predict
things
it.
Up. Yeah, like a year ahead or 6 months ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time. So it's hard for growers to keep up with demand.
Yeah.
Orbifolias we can't get at all.
What about Raphidophora tetrasperma?
That's another one we can't get our hands on at all.
Yeah.
We just got a hold of some Raven ZZs, and those are like flying out the door, and they're just teeny little things that I think are very
like
expensive.
Like a cutting, essentially.
People, well, they've got two little blades on them. They're in 4-inch pots, and people are kind of like, you know,
they'll let them
gobbling
grow.
Gobbling them up.
Yeah.
Because there's none available.
So if you do get a million requests from people, do you have those growers that you call and you get on like a special waiting list? How do you even try to go about getting those if you can?
We just reach as far as we can, you know, looking everywhere. Like now it's become worldwide where we're trying to find them and import them, and they ship them with no soil because the ag department is very strict. So you'll just get, you know, rooted cuttings usually that you have to kind of reset and reestablish and regrow after they get here. So we're working on that, but it's a slow process, but at least we can get our hands on a few things.
And then you would kind of need your own growing operations. You'd probably need the proper grow lights and the proper soil and the proper like humidity setup to really nurse those plants back to health after having probably been in a box from Asia for 2 weeks, right?
Exactly.
So that's a whole thing that you have to take on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's another part. We don't have a production greenhouse here, really. A good part of our little greenhouse is, you know, when a plant comes from a production greenhouse that's, you know, humid and warm and perfect conditions for plants, it's nice to transition them into something that's going to be somewhere in between that production greenhouse and your living room, you know, to kind of let them acclimate slowly.
Mm-hmm.
When you take something out of your humid, warm greenhouse and stick it in a
dry, heated room, apartment.
Yeah, it's kind of tougher.
Yeah. We were talking, I did a live taping at Folia Collective earlier this week, and we were talking about how people can be so strict or so staunch about their plant care idea. And like, you have to treat a plant like this, you have to treat a plant like this. But at the end of the day, like, we're all trying to take these plants that grow in a jungle and make them live in our apartments, which are like the exact opposite of what a jungle is. So like, none of us are doing great. Like, we're all psychopaths, you know what I mean?
There's no rules.
It really depends on your real personal space.
Yeah, absolutely. And we love Danae and we love Folia.
Yes, we love Folia. Yeah. And Danae loves you too. So the growers send you a list. You get the list of plants. You call them or fax them the list that you want, and then they deliver the plants to you, or you have to send someone to go get the plants?
We both.
Okay.
Yeah, we get deliveries all week long. And we also have truck that we go out and pick up plants.
Okay. And then how often do you get a plant delivery? Is it like once a week or is it once, twice a week?
It kind of depends upon demand lately. And especially when we're in spring, we make our run of probably twice a week. We fill our truck up.
Okay.
We've got a little box truck and we get a lot of deliveries probably 2 to 3 times a week.
Wow.
Stuff comes in, you know, almost every day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, stuff comes in and we're out there picking up stuff too.
I'm here interviewing for those listening on a Friday and I'm very excited to go see your stock because I've been told that you'll have a nice, healthy variety of plants for me to see today.
We try to build up for the weekend because that's our busiest.
That's plant shopping, baby. That's what you do on Sunday, brunch and plant shopping. That's a great day. So they come off the truck. Either you send your truck or they get delivered. And then what is the like onboarding process for a plant? Like, do you electronically keep stock of how many plants you're bringing in? Like, where do they go? Do they just get unloaded off the truck and you just find a corner for them? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, there's a little trial and error, as there would be with the end, you know, user trying to see if a plant's going to work in that corner or not. Sometimes we've discovered that, you know, I'll think, well, I'm going to hang all these lipsticks up over here and they just don't do well. And I have to switch out and put, you know, neon cordatums over there or something. It just depends on, you know, each little spot in the greenhouse might have different conditions or different little quirks about it. So you kind of find the best place for each plant. We don't do any electronic inventory control. I think it's hard that way because, you know, availabilities change so much. We're dealing with live crops, which is not like you're ordering.
Yeah. Perishables.
Yeah. So it's different. So we find the best place for them. Everything comes sleeved up in brown paper sleeves. Sometimes they come in, you know, plastic flats and stuff, but we unpack clean if any cleaning is needed and put them in their perspective spots.
Do you have to do, I would imagine, a lot of pest control?
We don't, fortunately. Mm-hmm. We keep a good eye on things. Mm-hmm. You know, everything comes in, you know, certified free from pests at the okay. time. You can't, you're not really, it's not cool to ship plants mm-hmm. with pests on them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they do happen. So yeah. we have to kind of keep an eye on that.
Okay. So because you have so much coming in, it sounds like it's not like you're tracking each individual plant kind of getting off the truck into its space and then out the door. Can it? Or you are?
Not
you are
digitally,
able to.
But yeah. if you ask me how many, you know, mm-hmm. 8-inch pothos I have out there or how many Dracaena marginata, I'll tell
you. You'd know.
I know.
What are your hours? I would imagine this is a long, hard job kind of every day.
Personally or yeah. just the store hours?
Personally, like as a shop owner, is it kind of morning to night every day?
Yeah, it's a little scary.
But, yeah.
you know, it's a passion and I love it and I look forward to coming to work. Mm-hmm. I don't dread anything about it. I mean, it's exciting for me. I usually get here at 6 and I usually get home around 7 or 7:30.
Wow, man, that's a long day. Six days a week? 7 days
now,
a week?
I'm on 6 days a week.
Well, yeah, I think that's for, because so many people are starting plant shops, which is amazing. One of our most downloaded episodes is Danae coming on the show talking about how to start a plant shop. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that people maybe don't necessarily take into consideration, that this is kind of like a really brutal job.
Everybody comes in, oh, it looks so mellow. It's so mm-hmm. easy. It's like, but you've got to understand, you know, you're caring for
perishables
of little creatures that yeah. can't speak to you. They, you know, their language is really subtle. It's hard to hear mm-hmm. when they need water or when they need a trim or when, you know.
Yeah, totally. And your inventory is perishable. Like if you get spider mites, that's yeah. thousands of dollars, like down the tubes.
It's a done deal.
You know, almost more, I feel like, I mean, maybe grocery stores, they have shorter shelves. Some stuff has shorter shelf lives, but it's very similar where you're in trouble if those plants go down, you know, because it's what you're selling and it's what you've invested in.
Well, a couple of things. It makes everything around them look bad. And, mm-hmm. you know, a consumer's going to walk in and see one sick plant in a bunch, you know, in a group and immediately think, I'm not going to buy that because they're all going to end up looking like that. Mm-hmm. So we're careful to, you know, if one is failing, we always pull it out. And we don't throw anything away. We set them out next to the dumpster. And we've got people who all day long will come and look for, you know, any giveaways.
Pro tip.
Because they're, yeah, they're little refugees that need a little help. Mm-hmm. And people take them home. And then they'll come back and say, oh, and I found this little plant next to your dumpster. And now it's gorgeous. And just need a little TLC.
Oh, that's awesome. Pro tip, if you live in LA, swing by the dumpsters at Mickey Hargitay's, see what free plants you can get.
Next to the dumpster.
Yeah, next to the dumpster. Oh, that's funny. They come into the shop, they get onboarded, we'll call it. And then how long does a plant normally stay in your shop? I would imagine if you get something rare, it's probably going to stay here for 12 hours. People will probably snatch it right up. But what is like the general life of a plant in here?
It depends. A lot of times lately, things don't last a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, things move out pretty quick. And mm-hmm. by Monday, I mean, we have a lot of, well, we don't have a lot of space, but we use every inch of the space that we do have. Mm-hmm. So there are things that sit here for a while, but you know, I don't think anything sits here for years.
Yeah.
Ever.
And with so many different employees, how do you guys manage the watering schedule? Like, how do you not overwater everything with so many people around, you know, probably trying to like make sure all the plants are properly watered? You know, that's kind of, a lot of people have told me in offices, like too many people water the one office plant and then the water, you know, the plant rots out and dies. Obviously, the people you hire aren't like as unaware of plant care as that. But what does that look like? Do you have a watering schedule? Do you have a plant care schedule that everyone adheres to?
Not really. You know, well, I kind of oversee everything and everybody kind of chips in. It really takes a village. If something is dry, because I'll miss things, I do most of the watering, but I will always miss things. Mm-hmm. It's always better, of course, to underwater.
Yeah.
You can always add more. You don't mm-hmm. want to drown them.
And yeah.
Plants die from overwatering than anything. So we try to push them to their limits. You don't want to take them to a wilting point too many times, but mm-hmm. it's okay to see a nice little healthy droop and then water them.
Hmm.
There's not any regimented schedule.
What about pricing? How do you figure out pricing plants?
Formula we use, and it seems to be fair and competitive and paying attention to what other people are selling them for. I think it's really hard to compete with, you know, on a pricing level with the big box stores, but we really do our best, and I think we stay pretty competitive. I mm-hmm. think the customer service is where we can really beat the big box stores mm-hmm. and stuff. But with pricing, it's hard to stay competitive. We do our best, though.
Yeah. So you buy them wholesale from a grower. So I would imagine the formula is like just a percentage of a markup from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we see things are sitting around too long, then we will lower that percentage. If things are moving out too fast, we have to increase it just to kind of, you know, control a little bit of how fast it's moving. If they blow out of here, mm-hmm. you know, too fast, then we're obviously selling them a little too cheap. So market, I think, is going to...
The market kind of dictates.
Determine. Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting because you can set something, but everything is, you know, you're the boss, you can change it. Everything is...
I never want to hear, well, you know, I saw those, you know, at Home Depot for $7 and yours are $8. Like, I don't like hearing that.
So yeah.
We really try to do our best to...
That makes sense.
Be as competitive as we possibly can.
Yeah. And I'm certainly not knocking what I'm about to say. I'm not knocking big box stores because I know a ton of people, myself included, if you happen to be at Home Depot buying super glue and you see some plants, like, by all means, you can buy that plant. Like, it's okay to shop at a big box store. But the care that a big box, they just don't have the capacity to care for plants the way plant shops do, small plant shops.
Not at all.
And the even just like understanding what plant you're buying. Like, how many times have I seen plants at a big box store titled houseplant, bright indirect light? And that's all you get. Like, you don't get the actual name. And for some people, that's fine. And now I know the names of plants, so that's okay. But like, when I shop at a shop like yours or a shop like Folia Collective, you get like the real name of the plant, real care instructions. You know that the plant is probably pest-free. It's just such a higher quality. Yeah. So I feel like it makes sense to pay the extra dollar at a plant shop, and you're supporting a local business. It all makes sense to me. But yeah. How do you feel about these plants that go on eBay for like $2,000?
Oh my God. If there's a buyer, go for it.
Isn't it unbelievable?
Yeah.
That's like rent. That's like, I'm jealous crazy. Of those people with their expendable income.
The big box stores, they're not really aware and they just kind of offload them mm-hmm. on the trucks without taking much care. And there's a lot of damage that happens to the root systems. And I think, you know, here we're kind of a little more conscious of that. We're not just unloading pallets of hard goods. We're unloading, you know, living things.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot more care is handled.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you guys do anything with the like nursery pots or anything once you get them off? Like, is there anything that you change or you leave them in the nursery pots as not to disturb the roots?
We recommend, you know, the consumer taking the plant home when it's an indoor plant, mm-hmm. leaving it in the grow pot and just placing it into a decorative pot.
Mm-hmm.
We feel that it's less stress on the plant. Mm-hmm. If you start transplanting, you're putting the plant through one more change and one more acclimation that it's going to have to go through
mm-hmm.
just to adjust to the new environment. And I've found through the years that plants can stay in the grow pots. These are all tropical plants that are, you know, growing where they're from. They've evolved. The competition for root space, like on the jungle floor, is really severe.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
they're all like in ideal conditions. So they've learned to adapt to being in really tight quarters. They don't need big containers.
Yeah.
And as long as you're feeding them, you can keep them in the small little plastic grow pot. I think for a long time.
Feeding them, meaning fertilizing them.
Fertilizer, yeah.
And then when the plant is obviously pot-bound and the roots are crawling out of the bottom like crazy, do you have any like favorite types of pots to repot in? Like, are you a big believer in terracotta? Are you a big believer in more plastic grow pots? Like just a larger grow pot, essentially.
I think a little larger is mm-hmm. all that really matters. I think that the actual growers work wonders and growing stuff in plastic. But I think that also, you know, terracotta, there's two schools of thought on that. And who, I don't know who's right, because the growers do great.
Yeah.
Just using plastic, terracotta breathes a lot more oxygen. Getting to the roots is super important. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that air exchange to the roots is going to be a lot more evident in a terracotta pot.
Yeah.
It's just up to the person, you know.
It's so, yeah, so subjective.
It really is. But just because you see roots coming out of the bottom, I wouldn't think it's time to transplant. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, a lot of times you just need to trim the roots. If your plant is drying out, if like a weekly watering isn't doing it anymore and you're kind of fed up with that, then it might be, you know, if it's drying out every 3 or 4 days, then it might be time to think about transplanting.
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing with pots that I'm learning, that I'm getting pretty strict with myself about, is I don't even know if the material matters as much as the fact that it needs to have drainage. Like the bottom of the pot needs to have holes in it.
Yeah.
And I love your idea of keeping it in the nursery pocket as not to shock it. And then you can put it in whatever beautiful cash pot you want. But that also eliminates from, you know, the having to deal with so many of these pots that you buy that are beautiful, like from, you know, really nice design companies don't have the holes. And then it's just, you're setting your, I don't know. I feel like I'm setting myself up for failure when I do that. Cause if I overwater my plant once, it's just going to like sit in that water, you know?
It's a lot. Yeah. You have to be a lot more careful.
Yeah.
It's much easier just to stage them in the decorative pots. Cause we all want pretty things in our house. You don't want it to
be functional
and an ugly, you know, pot. You want it to look nice to it.
Yeah. Any tips as a store owner for transitioning a plant into your home after I purchase something from your shop?
One thing that I think is important is that you'll find that plants, because they're coming from a greenhouse, they're actively growing.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be a lot thirstier. They're metabolizing a lot quicker. Like in the first 4 to 6 weeks, you'll find that they usually are going to drink up a lot more water when you get them home. After maybe 6 weeks, then they start slowing down. And they, after they've acclimated a little bit, then they'll start slowing down and not drinking, not being as thirsty typically.
Yeah.
That could increase, but typically it's they usually slow down a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I think respecting that 6 weeks, I think, is a good amount of time to say the transition period. The plant is going through severe transition from going to being in the exact perfect, you know, lighting and fertilizing conditions to your home that probably doesn't have as much light as you think it does.
Right.
You know, that I think we're all learning. So, yeah. Well, wow, this has been really eye-opening. I'd love to know more about Mickey's. So you've been in business for 39 years.
1980.
Anything else you want to share about your shop? What I've been told about your shop from a lot of people is that in LA, you have the best selection of plants and the widest variety of selection of plants because of your relationship with the growers that have been so long. Like, you'll get stuff that other people won't. That's something that people have told me.
That's refreshing to hear. That's really nice. I know that I really do care, and I think it's a labor of love, and hopefully that kind of reflects in what we're doing here. We're blessed to have like an awesome team of people helping us out right now, and we wouldn't be able to do this without the support of our customers. So it's kind of a win-win all around.
Yeah. So where are you located? Where can we find you when people come to LA?
We're in Hollywood. The address is 1255 North Sycamore Avenue, Los Angeles, 90038.
Your website is, you don't do online orders, right?
We're working on that.
You're working on that? Okay.
Inches away from
being able
to do that, at least on a small scale. And then we're going to see how far we can do it. But the website, it's either mickeysplants.com or mickeyhargitayplants.com.
Well, it was so nice to have you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been a pleasure, Maria. You're awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, I can't wait to take a tour of the shop. Cool. Stay tuned for YouTube.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mickey, for that wonderful conversation. I know I've said this 400 times, but he's really a special person. Meeting him in person, I felt, was a real treat. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, you must go see Mickey Hargitay Plants. I can't recommend it enough. It's really just such a magical planty place. In addition to, obviously, Folia Collective, with my friend Danae, Mickey and I talked about Folia Collective a lot in that conversation. The links to Mickey Hargitay Plants are in the show notes. Thank you again to my patrons. Thank you to my plant friends. You can become a plant friend of Bloom & Grow Radio on Patreon by clicking the link in the show notes. Come to the Philly event if you are in the Philly area. I would love to meet you in person. The links to tickets is in the show notes. And thank you so much to Bloom Living for sponsoring this episode. Head to bloomliving.com, B-L-O-E-M, living.com to find your local dealer and shop online for their amazing array of flower pots, gardening planters, and really fun garden accessories like the whimsical flamingo that I can't stop talking about. So once again, head to bloomliving.com, B-L-O-E-M, living.com to check out all they have to offer. All right, plant friends, until next week, keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And while you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you want to join the Bloom & Grow Garden Club, head over to bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club to join the planty fun. When you join, you get a free download of the Keep Blooming print that Molly Mansfield made exclusively for us, and you will also get an email with the password to the private Facebook group, which is what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is pretty amazing. For behind-the-scenes scoop, plant tips I learn along the way, and sneak peeks of future episodes, follow me on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio. And plant friends, I'm here for you. So drop me a line if you have an idea for an episode, live event, or maybe if you're a planty business looking to sponsor the show. I am always here to help you keep blooming and keep growing.